So this week we are continuing the work that we have been doing with the questions that Jesus asked. If you remember, Jesus asked a lot of questions in the scripture stories that we have. He does not answer directly a lot, but boy, does he ask questions, and we've been kind of dealing with some of those, and we'll continue to do that. Now, we're going to work through that. Obviously, we just heard a question from Jesus, but also I've been trying to kind of share a little bit with you in the course of these sermons, share with you a little bit about myself, not to be too self-revealing, because you couldn't handle that. But boy, today's is a doozy, so stick around, because... Now, you heard just a moment ago in the very lovely reading that Jesus is asking about worry. Why are you worried? And in fact, another way of kind of thinking about that is to use the word anxiety. Why are you anxious about these things? What good is it going to do for you? What is this going to get you? How is this going to help? Anxiety is such a common thing in our lives, and it is a real destructive force inside of our lives. We try our best to kind of like keep a cap on it, sort of push it down. Oh, are you anxious? No, I'm fine. Really? Really? Anxiety, kind of like what we talked about with fear last week, you know, fear, if you remember, we said was something that can actually be helpful, right? There is a lion in the bush over there that could come and eat me. You want to have a little fear. That's helpful. But, you know, when it starts kind of happening, what happens is everything gets exaggerated and your thinking gets all muddied and it's a problem. And you lose sight of what's important. We talked about that last week. If you want to hear a really good sermon on that, that will be last week's sermon, okay? Now, and on to this one. So fear is not in itself necessarily a dangerous thing. However, anxiety is. Because anxiety is when fear moves in, right? Anxiety is when those things that make us fearful are constantly in our ear, constantly gnawing at us, and constantly causing us to have, bad digestion, horrible sleep, being interrupted in really kind of helpful, beautiful thoughts with, oh my gosh. It's like, you know, time with your kids. Those of you who have kids in the room, you'll know that there are things that you're just really enjoying with, but you know that kid's going to get run over by a steamroller. You know, here it is. You know, a fire truck is coming right down the street at him. You know. So anxiety is part of life, but it builds. And it's been building in people's lives for a long time. It grinds at us and chases after us to seek the wrong things. Did you hear what Jesus said? Look, think about what is happening. Consider the birds of the air. Consider the ravens. Consider those things that really are not working, but they're providing for. Right? Consider the lilies. That wasn't the exact translation that you just heard. But haven't you heard this before? Oh, consider the lilies. How much they are beautiful, but Solomon in all his glory was not like that. So, by the way, you're hearing a little bit from the Gospel of Matthew that I'm kind of importing to the Gospel of Luke, but I think you know these, right? Have you heard these? Oh. And Jesus says, you know, what are you doing to yourself by getting so worked up about things? Don't chase after what you're going to eat or drink. Another place it says, don't get all wrapped up into what you're going to wear, right? But do something different with this. Consider, perhaps, what is more important and more life-giving. But that's awfully hard. Now, I really want you to know that this is not a sermon that says, and you can finish the sentence here, don't worry. You've heard this song. Willis, you want to, you know. No, and you don't want me singing that either. Is anyone in this room disgusted by that song? Yes, come on now, be honest. I liked it maybe the first 200 or 300 times that I heard it. and Bobby McFerrin, you're talented and beautiful and wonderful, but don't worry, be happy is grounds for murder. That just went on the internet and I'm in trouble now. I meant that as a joke. Just a joke. But really, it's part of what we're dealing with. And anxiety actually is not something that you can just flip a switch on. And increasingly, it has grown and grown inside of our hearts and inside of our society. In the year 2000, there was a study published in a well-respected peer-reviewed journal by the American Psychological Association. I'm telling you all this not to brag, but to say what I'm about to say is going to sound so weird that you're going to have questions about, is that really true? Okay? So the study in the year 2000 looked at data from over time, longitudinal data about anxiety levels and depression levels, and did it with different groups. And what they found was that the average young person had the same amount of anxiety, had the same anxiety load as the average inpatient psychiatric patient in the 1950s. All right. So I'm a person in a psych hospital in 1955. I'm not. I wasn't even born then. But think about this. If I am that, that I feel exactly the same way, well, not exactly the same way, but I feel many of the same stresses and anxieties as a kid showing up for math class. Now, math does it for me, you know, or spelling, or whatever. And just life. See what I'm saying? This thing has a way of growing. So that was kids in the 80s and 90s that were reporting that. What do you think COVID did? Or the racial tension in the country and in the schools. Or the mass shootings that seem to happen every other stinking day. So anxiety is part of it, and it's a problem. And honestly, the culture that we live in kind of promotes it. That ambitions that we have, the things that we think that we're supposed to be doing, the things that we're supposed to be achieving, all that kind of stuff just really fuels that whole thing. And, you know, political consultants have found this to be true, and it was a way to kind of motivate people. And that's not a partisan statement. All of them know this. Get a group freaked out about something, you can get them to do stuff. Take a deep breath with me. So it's growing. And it's contagious. Now, I want to tell you a story this is a story from yesterday. I don't always, you know, I don't always preach on Sunday what just happened to me the day before. And honestly, this sermon had a broad kind of movement from the work I did during the week, but yesterday just really kind of sealed the deal for me. So I'm going to tell you something about my life and what had happened. By the way, I skipped over a graphic. Could we throw that up on the screen? Like, so this is what I was just saying. All right? Just think about that. You see where the arrow is? I'm not going to ask, can anybody identify with that? But I want you just to kind of like check. Okay, well, thank you. The volunteers from the choir are apparently freaked out. Are y'all okay? After what you just sang, you know, you shouldn't be. Be still, my soul. Yeah. So yesterday I was going to do something else, but I wound up having to stay at home. And in the process of doing that, I started hearing things and learning things about things that were going on. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of it to protect the guilty. Okay? You know how it works. It's like you're supposed to protect the guilty and blame the innocent. No. Well, that's how it works a lot of times. So anyway, I started hearing about things that two people had in my orbit had done that were just dumb. Just dumb. And I heard about it, I got angry and upset, but I also was like, what is going to happen? And I started to kind of like, you know, my anxiety started to kind of like build. And as I thought about what I'd learned, the people that were involved, I understood that they were kind of acting because of, in one particular case, because of the anxiety that that person carries. Have you noticed that? Anxiety will push us to do things out of anger, frustration, trying to compensate, trying to do all that. And so I knew that both of these events had happened in part kind of fueled by the anxiety that was going on. And then I heard about a third one. Okay? So it was a rough morning. And I went into our room. My wife and I were there together. We were kind of just trying to get ready for the day. You know, this is. Oh, by the way, the two that came before were before coffee. Okay. We used to tell the kids, call it daddy juice, and if he doesn't have it, it's going to be trouble. So we were just trying to get ready for the day and kind of move forward with things. And I said to Gina at one point, if this day doesn't get any better, I'm going to the woods. I don't usually threaten that. That's kind of where I go to sort of relax and sort of focus. But I was buying camping gear in my head. So I'm processing this. I'm fussing. I'm anxious as I can be, and I go over to the sink. We have an ensuite, right? And so I go over to the sink, and I pull out the electric razor. It's Saturday. I always kind of trim up for y'all, you know, for Sunday. So I pull up the electric razor, and I take the plastic level guard off of it, which I never do. I take the guard off, and I proceed to take out about 40%. Of my goatee. Which I had not intended to do. So when you get a close look at me later today, you'll look at me and go, mm-hmm. Now, it was hard. And what happened is I was not thinking. And my mind was somewhere else. And I was upset. And that that stuff was grinding on me. Now, I am telling you a very small, very petty example, but I know that this scales up, doesn't it? So this may seem small to you. I think it's small too. But the systems, the dynamics at work here are, you know, it happens all the way up and down size. So I did that dumb thing. It's interesting how people do dumb things when they're freaked out, right? I did the dumb thing, took 40% off of my goatee, and I said and thought some very unfortunate, regrettable words, and I pulled myself together only a tiny bit, and you know, figured, okay, well, I'll just balance it out. So I tried to do the best I could, and wound up saying some more unfortunate and regrettable words, and then just, you know, foam, just in a fizz. And I'm worried, like, it's Saturday, so I'm going to wear a t-shirt and shorts. So I go over to my t-shirt drawer, and I open that thing up, and there is the t-shirt that I did not want to see. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You run into that thing, and it's like, huh. This is a t-shirt. I want you to see it on the screen. My mother-in-law's here. I wore that all day yesterday, didn't I? But boy, I didn't want to. I did not want to be kind. And I saw that, and it was almost like God said, what are you doing? What is the fullest life? Leave that up, Ike. Thank you. It's hard. It's hard to see that. But what is the fullest life? And why am I so wrapped up into things that I don't necessarily can control? Did you hear how that passage starts? Why worry about these things? How do you add a day to your life, a moment to your life, by simply fuming about it? And me getting upset about that did nothing to help any of those other stupid things, and I just had to deal with my own stupid. So I saw this shirt, and I'm like, I'm not wearing that. I'm going to find the meanest, ugliest shirt I can find in here. And the Lord said, don't you do it. In verse 31, it says, instead, desire the kingdom of God. Boy, he doesn't mess around, Jesus, when he is like asking around in these things. He says, why are you worried? What are you doing? Does this... Any of this help? The answer is, okay. Now, I know it's hard to say that sometimes, but honestly, the answer is, this is not going to help. This is fear that's gone amok and is distorting things. So what Jesus offers instead is what you just sang a moment ago, seek first. Pursue the kingdom of God. And dadgummit, he was right. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes about the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's like mangoes and blackberries. That's the fruit of Bert, you know. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is the ways in which you see God's Spirit, acting through a disciple, acting through a person who's a follower and friend of Jesus, right? So if you can look at that and you can see, like, oh, God's doing some stuff in there. Because some of it's hard to even kind of, like, do naturally. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patient, kindness. And that's not what I wanted to hear, but that's exactly what I needed to practice right in that moment. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You ready for the next one? I don't know if you're ready for the next one, but here we go. Gentleness and self-control. And why did he have to put self-control in there? Come on. What are we doing? What have we created in here? And how can we redirect that to be what God would dream that we could be in God's kingdom? For what good is it going to do otherwise? It's not that the worry can be removed from your life, but it is what you do with it. It is how you live forward with it. So in a moment, we're going to have a moment of confession and pardon. Maybe that would be an opportunity for you to say, I'm sorry, I want to do something different. The beautiful thing about that is you can, and God will help you. Why do you think Jesus is asking all these questions in the first place? That you are not alone, right? You're not in the boat by yourself in the storm with that ease that is within your heart. It's what we do and who we know. And I say all this to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.